Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast here on this Friday edition of the show. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage Chiefs of fullpresscoverage.com. It's been a little bit since we've last had a podcast episode, but there's been a lot of news coming up in Chiefland that we got to talk about from earlier this week, and also a recent signing that kind of pertains to the Chiefs a little bit for the New England Patriots. We'll dive into a couple things today, but the biggest will be the Chris Jones news. We knew, right, that the deadline for him to possibly sign a long-term contract was coming up on July 15th. But, of course, right, it's been a weird offseason with the pandemic, everything going on in the sports world in general. So we knew this was not going to be a normal offseason anyways since March. And you add in the Chris Jones situation that we knew was kind of a tense situation since last offseason. And this was going to be a tough thing to get through, possibly for both the team and player, but more so the team. So we'll talk about that a little bit, but I do want to start with the signing we saw earlier in the week, and that is that the New England Patriots signed quarterback Cam Newton, former Carolina Panther, number one overall pick, 2011, was released this offseason. First of all, I mean, it's a crazy contract to see a quarterback like Cam Newton, a guy that a lot of people didn't think would sign unless he got a certain amount of money. And this was a very cheap deal for Newton, which he came out later a few days ago and said it wasn't about money. It was about earning the respect that he thinks he deserves, obviously, as a 9-year veteran in the NFL. So Newton signed for pennies on the dollar with the New England Patriots. I think he's only getting, I think it's like $550,000 basically in base salary. I could be a little off on those numbers, but basically it's a very incentive-based deal. He can earn up to $7.5 million, but I think overall his base or at least starting salary is anywhere from like $550,000 to maybe just barely over $1 million. Not a kind of deal that we all thought Cam Newton would sign whenever he was eventually going to get offered deals. I think the timing of this is really interesting for New England because it's all been the Jared Stidham talk, you know, that the New England Patriots really like him. And they might still be very excited about Stidham for the future. But I think it just speaks to Bill Belichick that, you know, this is a guy that he's not going to try to deal with something that he thinks is going to be hurting his team. If he doesn't think Stidham was a good enough quarterback, he sees Cam Newton out there still on the free agent market, and he thought that this was a guy he wanted to take a chance on. You know, we also talked about the contract just a minute ago. Cam Newton has not been obviously healthy very much since his MVP season in 2015, where the Panthers lost Super Bowl 50 to the Denver Broncos. I believe he's had three shoulder surgeries since 2016. He's dealt with some other foot issues like a Lisfranc injury. So he's obviously dealt with some pretty severe injuries for a quarterback. And when he's been healthy, you know, the last few times he's been healthy, he's looked like one of the better quarterbacks in the game. Health is obviously going to be a big question. Nobody really knows for sure what that answer is. But if you look at Cam Newton's social media, his videos, he's been posting a lot of workout videos, a lot of videos of him in the gym, and he looks like an animal. I mean, this is the best he's looked in a long time. You know, he's always been a hard worker in the gym and in the facility, but it just looks like a different Cam Newton right now. Obviously, a guy who's very motivated after being released by the Carolina Panthers. So it's an interesting thing. I think you look at where New England kind of is as a team right now after Tom Brady leaves. This was a team before Cam Newton was going to have to win ugly. I think they'll still have to win kind of ugly with running the football a little bit and playing some tight defense. But I do think Cam Newton makes them a better football team. I do think they can win more games with Cam Newton. But the biggest thing that I wanted to talk about with this signing is how it pertains to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think New England really making this move should worry the Chiefs in any way, especially with the dynamics of this offseason with the pandemic, where continuity is going to be very key, and the Chiefs have a lot more guys returning from their core from last year than almost any other team in the NFL. So I think the Chiefs and Ravens are the two best teams in the AFC still by far. I think New England will have a little bit better chance to compete for the AFC East, not like they weren't going to already, but you have a little bit better chance to, fight against Buffalo for the AFC East crown. But I don't think this signing should necessarily worry the Chiefs as much as what some media members are saying. I mean, I know Cam has won with a lot of horrible wide receiver cores throughout his career in Carolina, but I do think this New England wide receiver core is still worse than anything he's ever had. So I just don't know who he's going to be able to throw the ball to. There's a lot of younger guys like Jakobi Meyers that I really like. Mohamed Sanu is a guy I really like. But overall, I mean, Edelman has kind of been a little bit of a little bit of a disappointment, deteriorating just a little bit. So it's going to be interesting to see what Cam Newton does. So my biggest thing is, I don't think this should worry the Chiefs very much, especially this season where Newton's going to be coming into a new place, where maybe he won't have that, in-person, activity with his receivers maybe right away. Of course, we're still a long way from the season. A lot can change in how teams may be able to approach it. But overall, I just wanted to touch on that and say, how it pertains to the Chiefs in my eyes. I think New England, again, is a lot better team after the Cam Newton signing, but I think the Chiefs and Ravens are still the upper echelon of the AFC. So now we're going to be talking about the Chris Jones news, right? We knew all off season. I mean, we've written about it. We wrote about it in some different articles with Brett Veach's comments at the NFL Scouting Combine, and I think we did another piece kind of looking at what a trade would look like, possibly if the Chiefs were to move Chris Jones, and we'll talk about that here during this a little bit, but Chris Jones, right, was franchise tagged earlier in the offseason. This is the first time that he's been franchise tagged, which is an important thing to keep in mind for something here we'll talk about in a little bit. He's coming off, obviously, he's done great, right? He's done great. He had a 15 and a half sack season, back in, I believe it was 2018. I want to get his stats right real quick here. Let me pull those up. Yeah, 15 and a half sacks in 2018. Last year he had nine sacks. He's got 33 in his career over his first four seasons, and he was one of the first guys I think to be franchise tagged earlier this offseason, which kind of was pretty telling kind of where the team was at, maybe in their negotiations with him and everything. So it's a really interesting dynamic way back from late February or March for what this kind of team was at. And I just think looking at it, how this has played out all off season, of course the pandemic has thrown another wrench into things, but the way it's kind of been all off season is Chris Jones and the Chiefs have hardly talked with each other. Now, deadlines do create deals sometimes. I think Aaron Donald, it was a very similar situation with the Rams a couple of years ago when he got his new contract extension. That was a mega deal. But I think it's very different with Chris Jones. I think even though deadlines do create deals, I do think that This is a very different situation. I just don't think the team and the player are very close in what they believe is a suitable number. Because even though Chris Jones has had great seasons so far, I don't think the Chiefs view him as a $20 to $21 million a year guy. I think you look at the Frank Clark trade from last offseason, that kind of set in stone what was going to already be difficult to re-sign Chris Jones, right? Give Frank Clark a deal, $100+ million a year, or $100+ million total over 5 years. And that was really telling, I think, to see what Kansas City has really got about Jones overall, on a per season basis. If he were to play on the franchise tag this year, he would make $16.1 million. It's not like Chris Jones would not be making very good money this year. I mean, it'd be about a $15 million, $14.5 million increase from what he would be making this season if he didn't play on the franchise tag. I think with Chris Jones, the thing that's also, I think, reasonable for the team, he has been banged up. I don't think there's a lot of reason to say Chris Jones has not earned it. I think he definitely has, but I think from the team side of things, why they may not view him as a $20 to $21 million a year guy or more is just the fact that he has dealt with some lower leg injuries more than any other, area of his body. So there's already a teeny bit of wear and tear there. There's also been the fact that, that Chris Jones on certain occasions, right, has just not always been able to provide the play on the inside that maybe they think they can get from edge rushers. I think going back to that Frank Clark thing, right, they know that there's a little bit better chance sometimes they can get the edge rush pressure in the defense that Steve Spagnuolo runs. But Chris Jones has been so improved year after year, in the way that he's played, his instincts and his smart. So undeniably, I think Chris Jones, right, he's probably the second best defensive tackle in the game, behind the Rams' Aaron Donald, who we mentioned a little bit ago. So the tough thing for the team in this situation is Chris Jones is probably their best defensive player, even though they've added some really good guys on that side of the ball the last couple of years, like Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark. But I just think when you look at this team, right, he's one of the most irreplaceable guys. So if you lose Chris Jones, whether it's for this season if he holds out, or in the foreseeable future, he's going to be one of the tougher guys to replace of anybody else on this football team. And the thing I wanted to really touch on with the team too, it's not just that the pandemic causes an issue with the money. Obviously, the salary cap situation. The Chiefs are cap strapped right now. They have Patrick Mahomes' deal coming up, and let's be honest. I mean, if you had to choose between Mahomes and Chris Jones, you're going to go with the best quarterback in the game for a new contract, one that could set new precedents for how player contracts are laid out in terms of guaranteed money up front, future guarantees, fully guaranteed money. It's going to be possibly a record-breaking deal in a lot of different ways. And even if it wasn't a quarterback like Mahomes, say it's somebody that's I mean, if you rank the quarterbacks, say it's a guy that's a little bit lesser than Mahomes, you still pick the quarterback over a defensive tackle every time. So you don't just have that. The salary cap is tight. You have some other deals right now coming up. But I think also, I mean, again, the pandemic side of things, just because of possible ticket loss revenue and certain other advertising revenue loss. I mean, the NFL is projected in some ways to lose anywhere from like 4 to maybe 6 billion, at least 5.5 billion in some ways this season. So, I think the salary cap going into 2021 is going to be almost cut in half. With the new CBA that was agreed to earlier this offseason, a lot of people thought the salary cap would be going up for next year and now there's a big wrinkle into things. So it's not just the Chris Jones news that, he's not just being the only one that is not receiving long-term contract negotiations. It's all over the place for other great players in the NFL. There's just not a lot of money to be had right now by these teams in the league, and hopefully that'll change down the line. But when you look at a business standpoint, I think the Chiefs, it's not honestly that surprising to see where they're at right now in these negotiations. But I think on Chris Jones' side of things, it's not just how this offseason has gone. I think you look in the past and just see how him and the team have dealt with it. Last year, he showed up to training camp on time when a lot of people didn't think he would, played the entire season, helped lead the team to a Super Bowl, and was easily the best defensive player to me for Kansas City in that Super Bowl win. However many passes he batted down at the line of scrimmage really threw some confusion and some frustration into San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo's mind. So he's done everything right to this point, Chris Jones has, but I think putting out the tweet that he did online a couple of nights ago, which really ignited the fire again about how this situation's been playing out. Chris Jones saying that he may sit out this season if he doesn't get the long-term deal he wants. That's not too surprising, right? We've seen other players in the past hold out. But I just wonder, making that public, the Chiefs are a team compared to some others that pay a little bit more attention to social media. From what I've kind of always known with the team and what's kind of been said this week from other people, even a little bit closer to the team, is that the Chiefs don't care, I think, too much about this. So it's interesting that Chris Jones would do this, because is he going to actually follow through with it, or is Kansas City going to eventually call him bluff? So that's going to be an interesting thing. I just think also what he said in some of his tweets is that he talked to his friend Le'Veon Bell about this, and I obviously don't care, right? I mean, you can have whatever friends you want to have, but it could be an interesting dynamic and a dangerous thing in some ways to be hanging out with a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who, obviously knew what his worth was, but the fact that he left Pittsburgh and then got about $15 million less than what Pittsburgh offered him when he went to the New York Jets, right? Sat out for an entire season, missed a year of football. And I don't think it was all Le'Veon Bell's fault, but obviously coming back after sitting out the year before. Last year in 2019, easily one of the worst seasons of his career for Le'Veon Bell. So I just don't know how that's going to play out, right? If Chris Jones is thinking like in the same mindset of skipping the season to getting what he thinks he's worth. Defensive tackle obviously is a lot higher position of value than running back is if you're comparing things to Le'Veon Bell. But I don't want to make too many comparisons to Le'Veon Bell, because it's a very different situation, just with how I think the Steelers handled Bell and how the Chiefs have handled Jones. I also think when you look at it, comparing it to Bell, right? When Le'Veon Bell decided to hold out, that was the second time in a row that he was franchise tagged. This is the first time the Chiefs have franchise tagged Chris Jones. So you can make $16.1 million this year if you play on the tag, and next year the number would probably rise up maybe about a couple million, unless the pandemic causes so much of a drastic shift downward. So I understand Chris Jones' side of things, because I think the franchise tag is one of the weirdest things in the NFL, right? It almost keeps you hostage for an extra 2 seasons at the most, whereas you don't get a chance to earn as much money as you possibly can. But again, if the Chiefs don't view Chris Jones as a $20 to $21 million a year guy, or even more, I think it's just a really interesting dynamic to see that Chris Jones went public with this on social media. But of course, I think he knows what he's doing. I think he's not bluffing as much as what some people may think he is. I think he really would be serious about sitting out the season. But I think there's also a good chance that if things continue to play out the way that I think they will, where he doesn't get a long-term deal by the July 15th deadline, I think he'll show up at the last minute, sign his franchise tag tender. He'll show up to training camp at the last minute. I think he'll do the bare minimum of what is asked of him or what is maybe expected of him with playing on the franchise tag. And he'll go about his business because I think sitting out an entire season, again, it just to me does not make a lot of sense for somebody like Chris Jones, who is, still only what, 25 years old, 26 years old soon. I just think it'd be a little less wiser to sit out this entire season. So right now, I mean, I think when you look at the options that are on the table with Chris Jones, right? He doesn't get the long-term deal, and you could either have a holdout, skipping the season or skipping part of the year, or he, like we just said, he plays on the franchise tag. But I want to touch for a minute here, after this quick break, I want to touch on a minute in a minute on a possible trade that could actually make a lot of sense for two teams in the AFC. So we'll take a really quick break here and come back with that trade scenario. All right, so we're back here, and for me personally, I think when you look at this team, the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously salary cap situation is very tight right now. We talked about that earlier, but I wrote about a trade in a certain article. I think it was before the NFL draft. And I mentioned a trade that could be possible is, trading him, Chris Jones to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right at the time, I thought they had maybe a needed defensive tackle before they re-signed Ndamukong Suh. And basically, the compensation that I thought of for that trade was that the Chiefs would basically be getting, I think, three or four draft picks total. And obviously, premium draft picks for a player of Jones' status in the NFL and as a defensive tackle. I really don't know if that's as possible now this late into the offseason, unless you find a team like, say, the Seattle Seahawks, who doesn't mind ever getting rid of any draft picks, or some team like that. I just think it's a less likely chance now that you're going to get a full package like that draft pick wise than maybe you were if you traded him early in the offseason. Now, again, I don't think Kansas City wants to trade him. I think they want Chris Jones for the long term. That's what they've said time and time again. But I think actions speak louder than words sometimes. And, given what has already occurred, the way that they've handled other players' contracts already and what they're probably thinking in the long term future. The actions may not be as possible as the words were just to say we want to keep Chris Jones. So one trade that was really interesting and kind of came up a little bit a couple of weeks ago was the Jamal Adams for Chris Jones swap, right? Two mega stars on each team's defense. The New York Jets, right now have been at a standstill with safety Jamal Adams. He's requested trade, it seems like, time and time again, and then he's walked back on it a little bit. But recently, it triggered again, and this time he's not walking back on that trade request. Now, the Chiefs do already have two great safeties in Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill, who will be entering his second season this year. So very youthful secondary still. I mean, it seems like Tyrann Mathieu's been in the league for a decade. He's still about 27, 28 years old. Daniel Sorensen really came out of his proverbial shell last year as well. So, I mean, the need for Jamal Adams is not really there, but I think if Jamal Adams were to choose a team maybe that he would want to be traded to, it would be Kansas City. And he actually listed seven teams in his trade request, and Kansas City was one of those teams. And he said that He would not have to sign a new long-term contract right away if he were traded. But the thing is, for Kansas City down the line, which would make this trade interesting, is you would probably have to pay Adams something big, somewhat big anyway, down the line. This is also a tough trade, I think, to see from a Kansas City side where, they'd be trading him within the AFC in the same conference to the New York Jets. There's a little bit of a need there for the Jets on the defensive line, so I think the Jets side of things, this maybe makes more sense in Kansas City, but I don't think it's that far out there that a trade like this could happen. One for one player swaps are very rare in the NFL, and there probably would be some draft picks involved. But at the same time, the Jamal Adams Chris Jones swap, to me, I see it in a lot of ways. I think it's very possible, maybe even more so than what people may think, whether you're a Chiefs fan, a Jets fan, or whatever. That's an interesting trade right there. I mentioned a team, that could make a trade for Chris Jones that would satisfy Kansas City, maybe premium pick wise, is the Seattle Seahawks. They seem to move off their first round pick almost every year in the draft. So it's not like they don't have any picks, but they usually move so much of them anyway. And I think there's a bigger need for Seattle on the defensive line as well. A guy like Chris Jones comes into Seattle, the defense instantly gets a guy up front that would help make the rest of the defense better. A defense that is in a little bit of a flux situation right now, right? They know what they got, but so much of their youth on defense has little experience coming out of college or, so far at the pro level. So it's a really interesting defense in Seattle. I think that would be actually one of the better or more likely, I guess, trade destinations if the Chiefs were to trade him. So going back, if he doesn't sign franchise tag tender or doesn't hold out, I think a trade scenario to me, honestly, I know it's one that the Chiefs would probably least want to do, but to me, I think this is one of the more likely outcomes right now with this situation. Again, just given the Chiefs' salary cap and given the fact that, you have some other contracts coming up with Patrick Mahomes and potentially some other guys, not just this offseason, but going into next offseason or a couple years from now, I think the long-term planning, it just does not, to me, seem like Chris Jones is in the fold as much as maybe the team is saying or wanting it to be. I guess a couple other things that I wanted to touch on with this is just the fact that, say he does get traded or, he skips the season, what would the Chiefs have on the defensive line this year? They've done a lot of rotating the last couple seasons anyway. So I don't know if you really have a true three technique. Colin Saunders, last year's, I believe, his third round pick in 2019, he would probably, to me, have the best chance to be a three technique. We did not see a lot of Colin Saunders last year until late in the season, middle of the late part of the year as a rookie. Very impressive speed and strength for his build as a defensive tackle. So I think the potential is definitely there to be one of the top three techs in the conference, or at least even in the league, in Colin Saunders. But you look at what Kansas City has done with rotating guys around the defensive line and among the defensive line in the past. They like moving Tano Passanio, kicking him on the inside. Breland Speaks, he recently had a video, a picture that he posted, the former second round pick of 2018. He looks in a lot better shape than he was the year before. And again, that's not a huge slight to Breland. I think it's just that's something that he probably needed to have this year going into his third season where he's not really made a huge impact yet as a former second round pick. And he could probably move into the inside a little bit stronger looking, a little bit, I think, slimmer as well, just in a lot better shape. So Breland Speaks, if he needs to move inside and be counted on a little bit, it'll be an interesting dynamic there. There's some other guys like Derek Nnadi and Mike Pinnell that you definitely already have on the inside that you trust a lot. But of course, those guys to me are seen more as run defenders than they are as potential pass rushers like Chris Jones is, or Colin Saunders could be in collapsing the pocket. So I think there's a lot of options there. And defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo does a great job in utilizing, everybody on the team, moving them around in different spots to try to create confusion for the opposing offense. But I just think right now, to me, I think that I think there's a good chance he could play on the franchise tag, but to me, we could see a lot more of these guys this season because right now, I just think it's more likely we don't see Chris Jones this season and obviously beyond as part of the team. Getting a long-term deal, again, deadlines make deals. I know the team would probably want to keep him, so maybe he'll get the long-term deal. It wouldn't necessarily surprise me because, again, very little do I get surprised even by things in the NFL. But at the same time, I just think you look at the dynamics that are out there, the situation that's been in place now for about 2 years, and I just think there's so much that Chris Jones has felt and lived out right now that I just think he's going to hold a little bit more of a grudge than what we've seen from other players in the past that have hinted at possibly skipping the season and sitting out. So yeah, I mean, there's so much things to watch over about this next week and a half to 2 weeks to see if we're going to see any movement on this front. Again, it's a very tough situation right now because of the pandemic that's added in, but hopefully soon things will start to look up for a lot of things. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun situation to monitor because there is so many different avenues that things can go down. I think Chris Jones has earned the long-term deal, but again, I think there's so many factors that are the team is thinking that they know is in their best interest not to do it, and some other underlying factors that is out of a lot of people's control in this situation. So that's going to wrap it up here with the Chris Jones conundrum in Chiefs land. You guys can follow me on Twitter at eBearcat9, all one word, lowercase, and the number 9. Also follow the Full Press Chiefs Twitter account as well at FPC underscore Chiefs. Sometimes we have some news come out there on the Twitter account that may not always be wrote about or talked about here on this podcast. So you guys can stay tuned to some news there once in a while. Of course, follow the full press coverage page on sportscaster.com/full press coverage. I know there is some upcoming FPC NFL live shows that are going to be coming out on Wednesdays, previewing certain NFL divisions. I think there's been AFC East and NFC East videos so far. So I think AFC North is maybe next on the schedule. Of course, you guys can also download the Full Press Coverage app there. It's a very easy way to find all of our content. The podcast episodes and all of our articles are in one place. So it's an easy way to navigate and find Full Press Coverage Chiefs or Full Press Coverage content in general. Of course, yeah, stay tuned to our upcoming article pieces. We had our first matchup series piece come out earlier this week on Monday, I believe it was, Frank Clark versus Laremy Tunsil, where we're writing about a player from each team on the Chiefs schedule in 2020. And see now they match up with certain guys in Kansas City. So I was really happy to get that Frank Clark and Laremy Tunsil piece out. Do not check that out. It came out on Monday. Go to Full Press Coverage Chiefs or fullpresscoverage.com to check that out. I know the next one that I'll have come out in the matchup series piece will be Tyrann Mathieu versus Rob Gronkowski in the potential Chiefs and Tampa Bay Buccaneers matchup late in the season. I guess also be sure to stay tuned just for other podcast episodes coming out. I know we'll probably be talking about Chris Jones again here in a couple of weeks. We have some other good ideas that are going to be coming out here hopefully very soon. So I think that about does it, you guys. Again, follow me on Twitter at eBearcat9, all one word lowercase. The full press coverage Chiefs account is at FPC_Chiefs. And we will see you guys next time.